welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in on a Wednesday here in October. Amen. It is October the 14th, and we're here in our station talking to you on Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, my friends. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And you can also email me at therev@revmedianetwork.com, or you can email me therev@midwatchwiththerev.com, and you can get a hold of us at any time. Amen. Amen, my friends. Well, we're talking about surrender today, and that is a topic for today. I think a lot of us tend to think about surrendering in different forms and fashion. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Let me give you a few of our announcements. I've been meaning to cut some commercials, and I should be able to cut some this afternoon about the webinar that we're having on the 29th, October 29th. We had another person register, a few more people register today, so that's a blessed thing. We're seeing people coming in and registering online. And now remember, if you're going to see the webinar on the 29th, you're going to have to go to keepingmymarriage.com. I may build a site, a page on this page here on Rev Media Network. Haven't decided if that's going to happen. We're doing good on getting people to register. And the reason I want them to register is kind of I want to interact. I want to know who I could talk to on relationships, maybe help some people. And we need email addresses and that so forth. So if you have been listening to the show and you've been wanting to get a book, first 25 people, that we have a few left that register again this next week. We did another promotion this week for another 25 people. You will be getting a free ebook. So if you want to go ahead and make sure you hit the early bird special, it doesn't cost you a thing, and you'll get a free ebook. Now that's on keepingmymarriage.com on the 29th at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So it's going to be a good seminar, and I believe the topic is the attraction of the Christian man or Christian married woman. So we're going to go over that, and I think a lot of people go through that, and that's going to be a good seminar. It's going to also be video. It's not just going to be audio. Midwatch with the Rev has yet to do video. We have been doing audio for quite some time. We're very comfortable with audio. It's something that we know, something that we can do in a moment's notice, and video takes a little bit more effort. And with everything that I'm running, we're just trying to make sure that we can put the right amount of time to make the right product for you, to make sure that you're being blessed and you're being ministered into. You know, I was going through the web today and just looking out different things, and one thing I ran into, which I thought was interesting, was a site that you can actually go and buy sermons. And not only that, you could also, I was looking for some media for the television station, for our library, and also for some audio. And this search engine took me there, and I looked through it, and you can actually buy. I was having lunch with my wife today, and I was cracking up that you could actually buy sermons. And I'm like, wow, you can buy sermons. I wonder if they, if you can send a sermon in and stuff like that. Well, I'm going to check it out. I'm not going to buy them, but I might be able to put myself on there as a source for sermons, because I'm always writing them. And I'm logging into our chat tangle right now to make sure that we have some interaction. And we are on. Now, Pastor Mike Salazar calls today. I was not able to remind him, but he usually calls pretty faithful on Wednesdays. He calls, we'll jump into conversation with him and talk about whatever he wants to talk about. But we're talking about surrendering. So that's the theme for today, surrendering. And we're going to cover some articles today to talk about that and talk about submission and giving your heart to God. Today is Leadership Wednesday, and we normally talk with Pastor Mike Salazar, and we'll see if he gives us a call. Now, well, other thing on that site was some neat, they had some neat transition stuff for video and audio, so I'm going to be getting stuff from there. It's just, it looked like to me like a Christian Fotolia. If you ever use Fotolia and your online building sites, there's a website you can go and buy things like that, video, audio, media, pictures, and it's just a place where artists and professionals sell their work, and you can buy from them some good photos. Every photo that is not of a person on Rev Media Network is pretty much from Fotolia, and we have an account there. We get stuff there, but this may be another place that we can do that for, and that's going to be good. This will be really good because I'm hoping to get the television running with all that we're doing, the studio on the television part, and we're going to be using an auxiliary studio and set because one of my great friends has his own production company. We're going to be using his set just to launch the webinar and everything, but after that, we'll be in our own set 24/7 and getting all the stuff for that. So hopefully by Christmas, we'll be completely set up online and on the internet with that. So we're hoping for that to happen. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it's good to set goals. If you don't set goals in front of you, nothing's ever going to get done, and nothing's ever going to make it happen. Nothing's ever going to make things work for you. Another thing is our open house. Now, I just told you about the webinar on the 29th, which is on a Thursday night. I think everybody can be home on Thursdays. Most churches don't have services Thursdays. And either way, if you register, there's going to be a password. You can log in, and you'll be able to see what's going on. Now, we're on Chattango right now. So if you want to talk, you can talk right now. And what we are going to do is we're going to go ahead and do an open house on the 23rd. You can get all the information from our websites. Every one of our websites has that on there, has the invitation to the open house, or has the date and the address where the open house is going to be, and the time. So if you're available and you can swing by the station, what we're doing is trying to introduce Rev Media Network to the neighborhood, to the community. Let them know that we're here. Let them know that there's another Christian station as well in the Houston market area. And it's a good thing to do that, not for competition's sake. It's good to be competitive, amen. But also, just for the sake that we're right down the street from some people, they may come visit our church, they may come by for prayer at times, and they just know that someone else is out there doing the work of God. And I was thinking this the other day when I was driving, because I'm sending these media releases this week to the other Christian stations in the Houston area and around the Houston area, and I'm going to be sending these releases to them via fax. And what I want to do is make sure that they realize that we're in out here too, doing radio just like them, but also doing television. So we're gonna eliminate some competition by doing that. But that's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about how it is not too busy, you know, for you know, there's enough work to be done. There shouldn't just be one Christian station. There should be dozens of Christian stations in the marketplace. Look at how many secular stations are on the air. Look at that. There are dozens and dozens of secular stations, from country to rock to hip-hop to talk radio. I mean, look at your FM band. Look at your AM band right now. And you just flip, 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 and you will see stations upon stations upon stations all the time. I mean, you will have different channels for this, different channels for that. You'll have sports channels. And so there is not a competition for Christian stations. There shouldn't be. There's enough work to go around. There's enough work. Now, there's a couple of talk radio Christian stations that we do have here in Houston. There's a lot of with these huge organizations like Salem Communications. They own several huge ones all over the country. But I think there's enough room for Rev Media Network and several other ministries just like Rev Media Network. Because you look at the cable. You look at your cable. And you have hundreds of channels just on cable TV. You have FX. You have TNT. You have USA. You have Sci-Fi. Now I'm mentioning all the stations that I watch. But you have the local stations. Then you have HBO, Showtime, all that kind of stuff, which the premium channels, that's what they call those things. And then you have all the channels that are specific, like the women's channel, the kids channel, and stuff like that. So you have plenty to go around. Just because one station pops up doesn't mean it's trying to corner the entire market. I'm just trying to say we're just doing our part. And another thing you can look at it is this. Just like there's thousands of churches in this city, in Houston, Texas, there's thousands of churches in India. And just, I know groups of people in India that have 500, that pastor 500 churches. And there's thousands of churches in Germany, Russia, hundreds of churches everywhere. And there in Houston, there's probably 100 churches in just one little part of this community. Everybody has a church. Everybody has a church over there. They have a truck and they have a church here in Houston. But they have a lot of churches. I hope you're getting my drift here. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. And the thing is this. There is always room. Always room for someone doing God's work. There's not enough people doing God's work. And so we're jumping in and we're saying we're a radio station. But we're also saying we're a TV station. So I combined it and said we're just a network. We do radio and TV. Radio and television. We stream live. We stream pre-recorded. It doesn't matter. The message is going out. People go, well, oh, you're all pre-recorded. I want to pre-record it. Well, yes, you do. You watch television every day. Only thing live is the news. Maybe some of the late night, but not all the late night. I guarantee you, David Letterman's taped. You're not looking at it live. So, anyway, just to let you know that there's more to this having a station and having a network running. I think that just as there's thousands of churches in the Houston area, there should be hundreds of stations out there. There's not only one church doesn't fit all that God needs to get done. God has plenty of churches all over the city that are doing an effective part, and they're reaching and influence who they can and what they can influence. I have several dozen friends that pastor churches in the Houston area that are real good friends. And you know what? They're not a competition because they're brothers in Christ doing the work of God. And if it was a competition, one church would be doing everything. But it's not that way. We have one of the largest churches here in Houston, which is Lakewood Church, pastored by Joe Osteen. Very great church. Now, his father was a great man of God as well, John Osteen. He's pastored it, and he created like a kind of like a community of preachers that would get together once in a while and talk and eat. Good man. And Joe is just as great. Now, I knew his father more than I know Joe, and it's a good thing. They're good people. Have a good church. Huge church. But are they the one-all fix-all? No. They're not. They reach the masses through media, which is mainly through television. I don't think he does any radio. But through media, they reach the masses. Very known, very well known. But is that the final? Is that the one-all for everything? No, it's not. And then you look at the evangelism-wise, Billy Graham was one of the most effective. He's tailored off a little bit. We mentioned that a lot yesterday about the donations and stuff in his ministries coming down. But he's still effective, still out there ministering. He's Billy Graham. He's Billy Graham. Now, is he the one-all for everything? No. There's plenty more charismatic ministers that preach just as strong and just as effective as he does that reach the charismatic. There's pretty much conservative Christians out there that are reached pretty strong by the Chuck Swindolls and the Jack Hayfords out there. The women are completely ministered to by Joyce Myers, Marilyn Hickey. All these people are great men and women of God. But they're not the one-all, does-all for everybody. They're not. There never will be a one-all, does-all. Jesus was the only one-all, does-all for everyone. Now, I think that as we surrender ourselves, we surrender our minds, hearts, bodies, souls, and we make ourselves completely over to God, that you're going to be lifted to where you need to be. Now, there's promotion in the job place, so there's also promotion in God's kingdom and God's work and what he's doing for you in your life. As you get closer and closer, you're going to be like one of those cyborg movies that you watch that they don't know that there are. I watch Battlestar, so I'm going to go ahead and embarrass myself with this. You're not going to know, but you're going to be out there one day just doing your work. Just working away. I told you about my friend and Pastor Augie in California. Pastor Augie is an awesome man of God. I shared this story before. I share it again. He was about to join this huge, huge ministry, and he thought he was going to be the takeover when the second pastoral ships of the pastorships, and it was opening, and everybody in the organization were telling him that he was going to be the next man of God to take the mantle to help run this huge ministry. I think it was Victory Outreach in California. And he stood there for a second and said, you know what, this has to be God, this has to be God. He prayed about it, didn't get an answer, but he knew this was happening. So on Friday, he knew that the announcement was coming Sunday, and he wanted to just jump right in it. Don't want to take no time off. He's just going to go from Friday at work to Monday at his new post, which is doing the work for the Lord full time, not a vocational pastor as he was at that time. Well, the word came in that he didn't get the promotion, but before that came in on Sunday, he went ahead and quit his job and let them know he had to go, and he left. Now, on Sunday, he found out that the job wasn't his. And it was amazing because he went back to his job. He was devastated, of course. And he asked the main man, Freddie, what was going on. And he just said it wasn't his time. And just God told him directly to give it to another pastor. And he had to obey what God told him to do. So he gave this promotion to the other pastor. Well, Augie went back to go to... back to his job to see what he can get, what could happen, what can make things work. If they didn't give his job away, and he goes, "Well, my friends, now, I don't know if he put a 2 weeks notice in or not, but I know that it was the end of the 2 weeks or something like that." They said, "We already put someone in your spot. When you told us you were leaving, we fulfilled your spot and gave it away. We have no budget for anything else, at least not for what you were getting paid." And he stood back and he's like, "Well, what else do you have? What else do you have in this entire organization that I can do? I have a wife, I have kids, I have to take care of them." They go, "Well, all we have is a sweeper. That's all we can do, someone to sweep the whole warehouse." Now, he was making big bucks. I don't know how much, but in California, big bucks has to be big bucks. He was making big bucks before, but now he had to sweep. And every day he'd come in. Every day he'd be there. Every day. Sweeping the place. He swallowed his pride. His friends would just look at him and just admire him because he would come in and he knew what he had to do every day. Every day he had something going for the Lord. Every day he decided that he was gonna do the work no matter who was there, no matter how it sounded, no matter how it looked, he was gonna be there. He swept. He didn't only sweep. He made sure it was perfect every day. Getting paid dollars upon dollars upon dollars less than he was supposed to get paid. Getting paid a lot less than he should have got paid. But he was there. He was there. He made sure he was there every single morning, clocking in, clocking out to take care of his family. Now, there were some in the business that, and you know, there's people like this. You know, you can't help this. There's people like this. They just rub it in. They just let them know that, hey, you know, they kick a dog when it's down. And they'd make fun of him. But he just ignored and keep going. They'd laugh at him. And he'd keep going and going. They'd even throw paper on the floor so he could pick it up. And he would just, very humble, sweep up what they dropped on the floor and keep going. Now, that is humbleness, my friend. That is a man of God. That is what humbleness needs to be. Now, even though he probably could have went and found something else that he was deserving of, even though he could have probably went somewhere else and got a better paying job, maybe, he went and found the closest thing that he knew that he could have a sure job to take care of his family. Nothing wrong with working, my friends. Nothing wrong with sweating. Nothing wrong with making yourself available for God. My friends, I want to tell you this. 12 months he swept and swept and swept. Still doing everything he did at his church and in his ministry with Pastor Freddie. He kept going and kept going and kept going. He did not quit getting up every morning and taking care of things. Now this is what I'm going to tell you. On the 12th month, at the end of the 12th month, he received a call. He got this call. When he heard the call, he just knew something was coming up from God. It was Pastor Freddie. He said, "Augie, we got to have lunch. What time you get off today?" And he told him, he said, "Okay, I will meet you at so-and-so, and we've got to talk." So he met him at his office, actually, and they sat down. And he said, Augie, God told me this morning that you were ready. That you were ready. And basically, it was time to get activated. It was time to make things happen in his life. He surrendered, my friends, for 12 straight months. Surrendered his pride. He was humble. He surrendered his entire being and body to be a sweeper for 12. How many of us can do that for 12 months? For 12 months, how many of us can sweep? How many of us can just humble ourselves and say, I'm back, I'm doing this, I don't want to be here. But I'm doing it because it's what I have to do to feed my family. And swallow your pride. Well, I think there's too much pride in a lot of our ministries, in a lot of our churches. I think there's too much pride in people's lives. Well, Scripture says pride comes before the fall. But at the same time, my friends, there is too much pride in organizations. Too much pride in men. Too much pride in women. Too much pride for a position. Do you think Pastor Augie wanted to be out there sweeping? Oh, he was all psyched up to go start preaching in this whole new place, in this whole new church. Let me tell you Augie's reward. I should title it Augie's reward. That's what the title should be for this show. And Augie's reward is this. He was not only given his own church in Glendale, California, just on the side of Glendale, on the back side of Glendale, back of the Glendale Mountains. I've been there. And he was not only given his own church, but he was also given second-in-command rank. Now, before, the promotion was just going to be a church. Now he was given second-in-command rank. What does that mean? Well, definitely a higher salary and almost twice as more than he was making as at his top level when he was working at the company. But also that meant that he was second command of the entire ministry. And it was a big ministry. That he had authority that God gave him promotion in the spirit. And not only promotion in the finance. Just because you're in a higher position doesn't mean that you're higher spiritually, but because you have into spiritual things of higher nature, then yes, you have more spiritual influence and definitely more spiritual authority in as far as impact wise. I really think, my friends, that a lot of us are in our sweeper phases. We have to humble ourselves. We have to surrender. We have to say that this is God. That this is God. No matter what, my friends, no matter what, we surrender. We surrender. We make ourselves available and we surrender. We surrender God's walk. We surrender to God's talk. We surrender everything, no matter what. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter. Call this your sweeper season. I'm calling it my sweeper season, my friends. Sweeper season. Now you know when I say it's our sweeper season, you know what I'm talking about. You know that I'm talking about being able to give of yourself wholeheartedly. Even though at first you're unwilling, you suddenly become willing. You suddenly become willing. You know, after the first few weeks, you get into whatever you have to get into to get through your sweeper season. You get it going. You make it happen. It's not a problem. But it's when you don't submit. It's when you don't surrender. You're going to run into problems. I tell you, frustrations will come more when you're not submitted. Frustrations will come more when you're not giving your heart to God. Frustrations will come more when you have not decided to put your hands on the plow that God has placed before you. Look at Jonah's life in the Bible. You think he wanted to be so stressed and so distressed. His distress came because he didn't want to do what God had sent him to do. His distress came when he decided that no matter what, he was going to buck the system. He was going to walk around it. He was not going to be a part of this program. Not Rev Media Network, but God's plan for Nineveh. He decided that he was not going to be there. He was not going to walk that way. He was going to walk a different path. And no matter what, he tried his hardest to get away. But isn't that like God, my friends? Isn't that like God? That God would grab and nab the person that he needs. Now, if there wasn't a well, now I want you to think about this. If there wasn't a well involved in this story, and it was in the 21st century as we are today, and he was walking along, say, a busy street that is completely busy downtown. If you're in downtown Los Angeles, that could be Hollywood Boulevard. That could be any major street, Sunset Boulevard. That's very busy streets. Going to Beverly Hills area, right there. Or it could also be a street here in Houston, Texas, which would probably be Main Street. Pretty busy. Travis Street, really busy. Walker Street, any street downtown. In downtown Houston, Louisiana Street. Though these streets are fairly busy. Westheimer, a very popular name. Very popular street. Very busy. Now imagine a street like that. Imagine walking down those kind of streets. Of course, in New York, it'll be Times Square. Would be definitely. Wall Street's pretty busy as well. Let's see, 42nd Street's really busy in New York. And Whitehall. Whitehall is a busy street right in front of the Statue of Liberty. So that keeps you pretty busy. Now imagine walking in these streets. Anywhere. Any of these cities that I mentioned. And maybe there's a city that you're at. And maybe there's a city overseas. But anyway, you get the point. They're walking in this city. They're walking. They're talking. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to do it. It does not benefit me. I don't like those people. I don't want to minister to those people. Those were the words of Jonah. He had some prejudiceness. That's what Jonah was dealing with, a lot of prejudice against a certain group of people. He had some issues, as they call them nowadays, issues to what needs to be done. And as far as high class, low class, savages, whatever you want to call it, Jonah just referred to them as, I don't want to minister to the people. Now, this man of God, been walking down the street, and God said, you were called for this, I made you for this, you're going to do this. Surrendering, my friends. Surrendering. Did not want to yield. Did not want to submit. He kept walking. He kept walking and walking and walking. And what happened next, my friends? Well, in the story, he was swallowed by a well. But in our story, he's walking along Westheimer, walking along Sunset or Hollywood Boulevard, Times Square, Whitehall, or 42nd Street. And Wall Street Street. And he's going and walking. Now, if God was not a well, did not use a well at the time, God probably would have used like a black van. And it would have drove up right beside him. In the 21st century, the story would have read, a black van pulled up, two men, hooded, grabbed him, taped his mouth, and threw him in a van and drove off. All we see is the back of the van, wheels squealing, smoke in the air, and there goes Jonah. That would be the story that we'd hear now. Because I'm telling you, sometimes, and it's sad, that there is still things in the church that keeps us from ministering to everyone that we need to minister to. We still have a type of, what's the word? I wouldn't say prejudice, but I would say that we're too prideful. that some people may be beneath us, that we don't want to relate ourselves to that type of ministry. My friends, you cannot pick your ministry. You've been built just like Jonah. You've been built just like God designed you to be built, to be used for His purpose. He knew you before the foundations of this earth. Before you were in your mother's belly, He knew your name. And before you were even conceived and even brought forth, He knew what you were going to finish your life with doing. He predestined, my friends, great things for you. Great things for you. You are not an accident, nor are you a mistake. You are not a person of random selection. You are God's chosen, and you are made for this day and this hour. No matter who tells you anything else, my friends, don't be a Jonah. Surrender your heart. Be like Augie. Surrender. Surrender your mind, surrender your heart, surrender your soul. Surrender everything so that God could do something so wonderful, so fabulous. You know, the word wonderful just sounds awesome sometimes. My aunt says it all the time. And every time I was looking for houses for her online at one time, and then I would tell her these houses and stuff, and she, oh, that sounds so wonderful. It just sounds cool. It sounds awesome. So imagine an awesome, awesome, awesome time that God has for you to do His work. Now, Jonah, at the end of his little run, where they finally opened the van, took the tape off, and I can imagine what's happening in the belly of the well. We've seen that. So imagine it happening in the van. He doesn't know where these guys are taking him. He's just going. He's blindfolded and gagged. His hands are tied, but he can hear everything that's happening around him. Very similar to the well. Very similar to the well. Now imagine that he just sits there crying, praying out to God. He reaches out to God, the one who captured him. And, you know, instead of saying, you got me, Lord, I'll do what you want. I'll do what you want. And have the true, humble spirit. He came out of the well or came out of the van. They rolled him, took off the tape, untaped him, took off the hood, and kicked him out of the van in front of the people that God had. Is that what's going to have to be done to get you to submit, to surrender? Submitting to a ministry, a pastor, or a friend of God that is in the Lord, working and walking in the walk, is not going to hurt you one bit. It is a pride thing. It is an issue with authority. It is something inside of you, a flaw that needs to be fixed. Submitting to authority and giving your heart to God, and trusting God to use you and use this man of God that you're submitting with is trust and faith. And that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're giving your whole heart, your mind, your soul, everything to God. You're making sure that it's all, you know, running the way it needs to be running. There's no doubt, no doubt at all in your mind that this person, this walks for you. Don't be a Jonah, because Jonah's reward was not all that. How many of us do that? We decided that no matter what, that we're gonna find our own way. I mean, first of all, look at this. He took his Toll World tokens and jumped on the first subway they came across and got out of there. And he kept running and running, trying to run. You cannot run from God. God sees everything. No matter what. I think I pushed my mute button for a few minutes, so we're going to find out where that was at. And I'm reading out of Jonah, and we're talking about what Jonah was running from. And Jonah, I don't, it doesn't really talk about why he did not want to go over there. directly. But let's talk about this. So he went to Nineveh, and he came out of the belly. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah and the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh, according to what the Lord wanted. And now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried, and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put sackcloth for the greatest of them, even to the least of them. So anyway, they were delivered. And then here it goes, verse 4. So we read up to there. We do tend to run. We tend to run. Why do we all do that? Why do we all run when we know it's time to do something that God has sent us to do? Maybe it's something that you heard and someone else talked to you about. Maybe it's something that you don't see yourself doing. God has a way. God has a way of making things happen. If he has to throw you in a black van and tie you up and drop you off in front of it, it's going to be done, my friends. And if he wants you to do it, you will do it. You will do it. We're going to read all of chapter 4, so sit back. But it did please Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou to be angry? Thou well to be angry. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it may be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. I guess a gourd is a cloud. Let me see. Shade. Yeah, shade. It's a cloud, I guess. So God prepared a worm when in the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It was like a branch? Like a shade over the plant. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well be angry? For the gourd, he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for that which thou hast let not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up at night and perished in the night. Thou should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein and more in the 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and the left hand as much as cattle. So God picked them. He was upset because these people did not deserve to be saved. And he did a simple little illustration to him why they should be saved. Shouldn't he have more pity on thousands? And he had, instead of this shade that he made Jonah. And the reason being is that God has mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Jonah still ran, still angry, doesn't show if he ever resolved his issues. No one deserves to be saved. No one earned it. It is not to those that are good. It is not to those that are bad. Everyone has an opportunity to be saved. So it doesn't matter how well a person is. And I think that's what the main story right there is. It doesn't matter how knowledgeable or how strong a person is in life, as good or bad. But it does matter when God sees that they don't know of their own ignorance that they're messing with things, and things are falling apart. So, I want you to think about that, and I want you to pray about that. I want you to understand that. And let me pray for you right now. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. Let's get a quick prayer in, throw a couple of more announcements, and we should be done, my friends, for till tomorrow. Again, that was, we read most of Jonah, 1, 2, 3, and 4, a little bit of each. Basically telling you not to run away from what God is trying to get you to do. There is great purpose for you. There is great purpose, especially in the time that we're at. Now, if you haven't heard my sermon, Operation Impact, you can go to any of my websites and go to my sermons and hear it. It is currently playing, but it will be changed out tonight on the church streams. So if you do not know what I'm talking about when I say it is time to take advantage of these economical times and start saving people for God. Start saving people for God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you, touch the lives of the people that are listening to this show right now. Whether they're listening to us live, whether they're listening to us on our archives, or whether they're just downloaded this and is listening to it right now. I want to see their lives changed. I want to see their lives touched. I want to see that their homes are being touched, that their finances are being filled, that there's no lack and that there's no want. Father, in ministry, when you're running through a financial time and you're running through times where there's no funds coming in, it's hard to discern, hard to get into that prayer habit that we need to have every day and get a refreshed anointing from you. It's easy to be overrun with the world's worries. It's easy to be overrun with things that are happening around you. It is easy to walk into a trap and not be able to surrender your life and surrender your soul. We want to get the quick race done. We want to get things done in a heartbeat. We don't want to just wait when we need to wait. Just like Pastor Augie did, he submitted and he waited. Even in his embarrassment and in his own humility, he had to go and take a job just to take care of his family that was paying less in this very same company that he worked for 14, 15 years, Lord, since he was a boy. And Lord, you honored him and you took care of him in 12 months after being humble and submissive. You gave him his own ministry, in a sense, and raise them through the ranks of what he needed to get done. Father, we pray the same blessing, that we don't have any Jonas. We have people that surrender. They give their hearts. They give their minds. They give their souls to you, Lord. We pray that they give you everything in their mind, heart, soul, body. That they are able to discern from good and evil. But Father, that most of all, that you give them, him and her, the very submissive heart that they need to surrender themselves to your authority. Because without authority, God, there is no strength. There is no boundaries. Without authority, we have no boundaries. We have no direction. I thank you, God, that you can bless them, that you can encourage them, that you can make them strong, that you can make them powerful in your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Give them strength, give them wisdom, give them might. Amen. And amen. Okay, my friends, that's a good prayer. Got some people touched. Got some people moving for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let me share an article real quick before we go. And I want to make sure. This is something that I was going to share tomorrow on our missions, but I'm going to share it today. And this is just something about India. It says U.S. lawmakers urge India to bring justice to Christians. A group of U.S. lawmakers have written to the chief minister of India's eastern state of Orissa, calling for action against those who have carried out attacks against Christians. Such attacks on the fundamental freedom of religion threaten not only India's reputation for religious diversity, but also the very stability of India's secular democracy. The 21 lawmakers, led by Ted Franks, Republican of Arizona, state in the letter addressed to Naveen Patnaik, Just over a dozen people have been convicted so far for that anti-Christian violence that erupted last year, and many remain at large. In 2008, Hindu extremists carried out the worst religious persecutions in India's 60 years of democracy. At least 120 people were murdered, 250 churches destroyed, and over 50,000 individuals displaced. Thousands remain in refugee camps, fearing more attacks if they return home. Given the recent experience with religiously inspired terrorism, we are concerned that if Hindu extremists can act with impunity toward religious minorities in India, these extremists and their ideologies will begin to affect international security as well, states the letter released Friday, according to the agence France-Presse. The anti-Christian rights in the community-sensitive Kandhamal district began after a Hindu leader was assassinated. Hindu nationalists accused Christians of orchestrating the murder, but Mayas rebels have publicly claimed responsibility for the Swami's death, while Christians vehemently denied any involvement in the incident. I don't really see Christians plotting to get someone killed. On a sidebar there, just telling you that. The state government of Orissa has taken some steps to promote peace and unity in the region and assured the Christians of their protection, but of more than 750 cases filed by Christians against Hindu attackers, only 17 people have been convicted to various terms of imprisonment. Moreover, the perpetrators continue to intimidate the small Christian communities. So guys, I want you to pray. I want you to believe God that we're going to see something change there. Because, you know, there has to be. There has to be some kind of change. You want to know persecution? It's happening. It's happening. It's happening in India. Well, it's always been happening in India, but this is to extreme case. I told you about Pastor Paul James. When I was working with that one ministry, he was chopped up into several pieces, and his body was sent to all his churches. I think he pastored five or six churches. They chopped his body up in five or six pieces, and they sent them to the villages. Now, this was in the 90s, in the 94, 95, 96 time frame. So it didn't get as much coverage as this right here. But they have been killing pastors and preachers for centuries. Anyone that brought anything in there besides, besides Hinduism, was killed. Hinduism has a strong grip. It's very demonic. It has a strong grip on all that region. If you ever go into India, if you ever go into anywhere in China, anywhere, you're going to see the difference. You're not going to feel the same warmth and love that you can fly into any U.S. city here in the United States, anywhere in America. You can feel when you're on the plane coming in that it's Christian, that God's presence is there. When you get to those places, it's very, very dark. Very, very dark. Very, very, there's a struggle. There is a struggle when you hear that, when you feel that. And you have to be prayed up. So if you ever go overseas, you need to be ready, because there is a time when things are going to end up going, feeling like they are not going your way, my friends. That they are not happening, because there's a darkness on the land. There is a darkness on the land. Alright, my friends, that is our whistle to head out. I want to tell you thank you again for listening to Midwatch with the Rev. That's my Navy whistle. And I just want to tell you that our open house is on the 23rd, if you can be able to come out to that. I appreciate it. Also, come listen to our webinar on the 29th.